So, and then the agenda item, which is measured today, is the issue of the Secretary to Parliament, who was going to give us the situational analysis. I don't think that is going to take more than 30 minutes. So I think that we can still continue, because it will be very rude that we make people wait for an hour and then adjourn the meeting when it could have been done earlier. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Dr. Khai?
Covered, Chair, thank you.
Okay. Can we then quickly check, Cindy, any apologies whilst you are flighting the agenda?
Yes, Chair, good evening. We've received apologies from Member Gwahube and Matlango, who are attending the Commonwealth Parliamentary Conference. Med Lakode and Mr. Singh are in other committee meetings at the moment. And Mr. Brautaseth has another as a prior commitment. Those are the five apologies we received.
Okay, thank you very much. I think in the main for this meeting today, the purpose is just for the introductory meeting with the recently appointed Secretary to Parliament, Mr. Xolile George. Mr. George took office on the 15th of June, 2020. And this engagement was scheduled for his introduction to the committee and to also allow him to present the committee's, to the committee, his analysis of the state of the administration following his first 2 months in office. So I don't think it will take us a long time. Yes, I don't think this will take more than 30 minutes. If I'm correct, Cindy, the item on the agenda is the introductory remarks by the executive authority, as they will be introducing Mr. Xolile George, the new appointed secretary to parliament, to the committee. Without any waste of time, Speaker, can I invite you to the platform and introduce Mr. Xolile? Am I audible?
Yes, you are, Chair.
Speaker, I have invited you to formally introduce Mr. Xolile George to members of the select committee, of the joint standing committee. Cindy, can you check if the speaker is still in the platform?
Chairperson?
Yes, that.
No, the speaker is no longer on the platform. Ne? She has had a problem with her iPad before she had joined with the phone. She said wherever she is, the network is not as good. Ne? I think that although she was supposed to have been introduced by her, but let's allow the secretary to deal with the work, and then when she rejoins us, and then she'll give us
recording in progress.
Yeah, she'll be able to give her remarks even after the secretary to parliament has given the land his situational analysis. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Dr. Xolile, it's unfortunate that the speaker had to leave the meeting unceremoniously.
Hello, Chair. It's Mike from the speaker's office.
Yes, Mike.
The speaker is listening. I think she's gadgeted, disconnected, but she's listening now through my phone.
Oh, okay, sure.
A speaker, can you hear them?
She can.
Yes, I can hear you, comrades. Thank you very much. I'm really sorry about this. I don't know what's happening to my Wi-Fi, but I am here. Chair.
Yes, I had invited you to Mr. Kolile George, who recently appointed as the Secretary to Parliament.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable members, can you hear me? Am I audible?
Yes, you are, ma'am.
Thank you very much, and I'm really sorry about this inconvenience. I'm now speaking via the gadget of Mike Ramaphosa, who's part of my staff, which is at the meeting here. Chairperson, honorable members, I'm sure this afternoon Mr. George is here and is joining us for the first time at the meeting of the Joint Committee. We have had several interactions with Mr. George as the presiding officers. The last one having been, I think, on Monday or Tuesday, we had another interaction. And of course, with regards to some of the reports you expect him to present to this meeting, he will be able to do so. Comrade George started working in Parliament on the 15th of June, honorable members, as you would know. You recall that initially I had made an announcement that the Secretary of Parliament would start by the 1st, would have started by the 1st of June. And when we could not take that matter at the time to the National Assembly, we then decided that we should then give him an offer from the 15th of June. So, Mr. George is here now with us. We have received several reports from him, which gives us as a scan of the environment in Parliament, both as it relates to administrative challenges and resource challenges of the department, of the institution. But we've also discussed a whole lot of issues related to issues of human resource. And I am sure as he was requested, he will be able to then present that environmental scan to you this afternoon. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And once more, I really want to apologize for what is happening here. Thank you very much. But I will remain on the line. I will still listen via Mike Ramaphosa's cell phone. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. I will now invite all political parties who would wish to comment on the appointment of the Secretary to Parliament. I will invite members to please raise their hands if they would wish to comment. Okay, there's a hand of Honorable Becky Hadebe. The platform is yours, members.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Good evening, the members of the Joint Standing Committee, plus the members or the members of staff of Parliament. I think that first of all, we'll have to appreciate the work done by the executive authority in ensuring that we have a permanent secretary to Parliament. Let's hope that he'll get all the support he needs so that he can execute his job with diligence and speed. And then what is very important is that you also appreciate the Joint Standing Committee of the effort it has put in ensuring that the appointments was done. And then although it's over 5 years, but as we're speaking now, we're having a permanent secretary to Parliament. I think that the Parliament will organize itself. And then if we remember very well, we said that we didn't pressure the executive authority to appoint the CFO and the chief protection officer. As we said that we want a situation whereby the secretary to Parliament is involved in the process of appointing the people who have the work done by the former job well done, and then ensuring that the parliament work continues to happen. And then also all the other members of staff who supported the acting secretary, the former acting secretary to parliament in executing a job. So you are welcome, Speaker, with the job you have done, and Bob Masondo. And then let's hope for the best for the secretary to parliament. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khadebe. I don't see any other hands. We'll now proceed. Welcome, Mr. Kolile George. Can I now officially invite you to brief members of parliament and members of the public on your observation in your 2 months in office? You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and good evening to Madam Speaker. Good evening to all the members of the Joint Standing Committee, as well as my colleagues who have joined in the platform. I really appreciate the opportunity to have this first interaction with the Joint Standing Committee on what it has reflected on and expected me to share the preliminary assessment and observations I have made in regard to matters that will require focus in terms of our work going forward. I certainly consider it as an opportunity for me to contribute to this premium institution of our country in terms of the work that it does to strengthen democracy in our country, but also perform its constitutionally assigned responsibilities to implement the priorities that have been outlined. So some of these areas are in no detail, given the fact that they are areas of preliminary focus and engagements over the last 2 months. So as outlined in those areas, Chairperson, these will just be the touch points on issues, and they are in no way exhaustive on the engagements, primarily because the engagements on areas of conversations internally, but also with external bodies, it's still an ongoing process. And I will from time to time update the committee on the work we do. In terms of these areas that I'll be touching on, some of them would obviously be areas that members are fairly aware of, but I am raising them in terms of contextualizing the areas that would need attention going forward. So I will touch in this order in terms of the issues raised under two, right up until the last point at number nine. The first issue that I would look at is what is evidently known both at the level of the committee as well as the administration of parliament. These are the priorities that are contained in our policy agenda as adopted as a focus for this sixth parliament. And these priorities would require a very focused execution in terms of both resourcing the administration, but also enabling it to support parliament in carrying out and discharging its responsibilities. And I would not necessarily name all of them. They are clearly outlined in terms of focus areas. Also at the level of our own strategy mapping, just as a recapping, these are the focus areas that draw their attention in terms of the areas that must respond to national policy imperatives, in particular, attainment of the goals of the 2030 strategy, the medium term focus areas in terms of the MTSF 2024, as well as key focus execution areas that responds to the mandate of Parliament in terms of its oversight, in terms of engagements, in terms of how its work is executed. Around areas that also inform our approach to our work is these policy perspectives that are very central in terms of attaining those key pillars we have outlined earlier on in terms of the National Development Plan, the SADC Master Plan, Agenda 2063 at the level of the continent, as well as UN development goals. How do we look at these areas to make sure that the work we do as parliament ensures that government in all its spheres is able to localize these areas in attainment of national development imperatives? Of course, as we start this period of being part of the institution, there are incidences that have taken place that have affected the normal function of the institution. Chief amongst those is the issue of the impact of the fire that affected Parliament early this year. And how do we then ensure that we have immediate focus on ensuring that the rebuilding of the operational capacity of Parliament continues uninterrupted? The issues of refurbishing and restoring the institution that has been affected by fire, the new assembly, as well as the old wing of the assembly, would occupy our priority. At the core of that execution of that work will be us determining in very clear and concise terms, what resources do we need to do this work? And what times do we envisage to undertake this work? In summary, I've had engagements both at the level of administration of Parliament. I have also had engagements at the level of external stakeholders, and my outlook would reflect on those interactions. So I've just kept up summaries at the highest level on issues that would require engagement. We have a focus that we need to attend to in terms of ensuring that all the objects as well as provisions of the FMPLA are carried out effectively and efficiently. And all the areas that need urgent attention would require capacitation for us at the level of financial management office, but also to ensure that we are able to assess in other provinces the extent to which the objectives of FMPLA are carried out in fulfillment of the policy intent that underpin the legislation. So that assessment is being done to make sure that we can fully operationalize the provisions of this legislation. I've already mentioned the issue of the fire incident as an area that requires urgent attention. The issue of the safety and security of the parliamentary precinct rather is one of those areas. And I've had engagement at this point at the level of staff. There are concerning matters where we would need to overhaul our financial, our safety and security in the precinct to make sure that there's greater sense of security as well as predictability of how we manage the entire operation in terms of the full value chain, plus related interdependencies between other players who are also part of the security precinct in terms of the law enforcement agencies that are central to a combined effort of guaranteeing the safety and security of our precinct. That area of work will receive urgent attention. The working relationship with Department of Public Works and National Treasury, insofar as dealing with the reconstruction and restoration of Parliament, becomes of paramount importance, and we will be looking at that. At this point, I've already had engagements with Public Works to look also at areas that at face value, they have a dual dimension. The fact that at the level of office, we relate with them, the management, the maintenance, but also the potential areas that could constitute threat into the safety and security, given that we've got a multi-tenancy relationship of many stakeholders who are part of being housed in our offices. How do we ensure a reconciled management of the interoperability of different tenants that we have? Part of my discussion with Public Works, I have raised this matter and expressed a view that in the most ideal, it will be important that the precinct of parliament does not have multi-tenancy occupation. At best, we release the capacity that we have for full attention and full utilization by parliament. And I've raised this point, and I have received an undertaking from Public Works that over the next 3 months, they will prioritize this work. As at yesterday, I've made a follow-up and received an undertaking that, in fact, they've already sent a senior manager in their establishment who reports to the Director General to come and attend to those issues so that they can have a full report of what they will do to migrate a number of offices that are currently occupying our precinct, so that capacity is fully released to Parliament to allow us to respond to other matters. The issues around the parliamentary budget are very important, and I've been sensitized about it. We are currently compiling, as Executive of Parliament in terms of management, compiling a report that would clearly outline the deficit area and its scope, and what can we do around this matter to make sure that the executive is able to engage both at the level of the ministry as well as at the level of the president of the republic to make sure that issues of proper funding of the budget of parliament to meet its objectives of performing its role is not compromised because of chronic underfunding that is currently experiencing this cushion. We have done projections at a preliminary level of the amounts that will be necessary to do that. But part of that work is being detailed, and early in September, we will have a focused discussion with National Treasury around this particular matter. So as a precursor, it will then enable the executive to interface nationally in line with the objectives of the institution. Linked to the issue of safety and security, I've also identified the need for the urgent focus on the head of security of parliament. As it is now, it is currently a role attached to one of the divisions of parliament, but given its central role in terms of being a focus, as well as the status of parliament as a national key point, this is one of those areas that will require a greater degree of elevation as well as urgency in focusing on the position to be filled. So that will be done simultaneously with the need to overhaul the safety and security management of the precinct. The issue of appointment of the CFO would also be an urgent matter that I've been made aware that the position has been vacant and is quite urgent that it be prioritized so that we have got greater capacity to operationalize the implementation of financial management regulations and legislation. The issue of corporate governance in the communal relations is a very important issue. And we would also look at areas in terms of what we do. What are the areas that we need to focus on in terms of improvement so that we can move speedily in ensuring that this is done in a manner that reinforces the importance of Parliament promoting corporate governance and intergovernmental relations. The issue of the Parliamentary Budget Office, the Treasury Advice Office, and internal audit interface in terms of complementarities of the roles, as well as how they work together in service of their stated objectives, as well as their goals. It will be one of those areas that in my interaction in the very first session I've had with the team, there's quite a lot of areas that requires clarification around the resourcing of these offices. They are reporting interdependencies and how they relate to the administrative institution of parliament. And how do we fully give effect to the provision of the Money Bills Amendment Act, as well as the stated intentions in the Financial Management of Parliament Act, in particular, provisions of Section 35 that would require us to make sure that when funds are transferred, we are able to transfer them in a manner that empowers the offices, at the same time receiving adequate assurances that such funds are managed in a manner that accords with the expectations that funds are being received and appropriated in offices that reflect the efficient and effective management system of such funds. So part of that dealing with those clarities would help us to make sure that these offices are properly enabled to discharge their responsibilities properly. Also around capacitation to make sure that the implementations of the money bills in terms of the Money Bills Amendment Act, we are able to ensure that the National Assembly is receiving proper advice, proper policy support, so that it's able to execute its assessment of budget and where necessary, exercise its powers to amend the budget in a manner that responds to the national policy imperatives, but at the same time empowers it to effectively discharge its responsibilities. That will be part of our focus around this matter. Areas of coordination of sectoral engagement would also be looked at, plus the focus particularly to strengthen the interface with the sphere of local government so that it is not only confined to engagements of Section 139 of the Constitution around intervention, but primarily it locates its support to the provisions of Section 154 of the Constitution so that we are able to anticipate far ahead areas that could potentially impede local government's ability to discharge its responsibilities. Those issues would be looked at. Around legislatures on international engagement, it would be one area also that would require strengthening and supporting the Legislative Sector Support Division to make sure that it creates improvements around strengthening cooperation as well as collaboration. Issues around the current instruments of enabling decision-making in the institution as envisaged by the Financial Management of Parliament and Legislature Act, the delegation of authority instruments, we have had engagement with it, and we have identified areas where it would merit the need for review, and I've already set up a team that will start working on this area to make sure that we can review these areas with the intention to improve effectiveness as well as the speed and location of decision-making at an appropriate level across the organization. The need to rethink the performance management framework to make sure that where it has got deficiencies, both at the level of implementation of the existing, as well as ensuring greater alignment, so that it goes back beyond rather the elements of how we are reporting at this point to make sure that it is first and foremost a tool of managing performance of the institution. And secondly, it ensures that everyone gets contracted to perform areas, but secondly, allows the institution to have meaningful evaluation on a quarterly basis, whether the stated objectives and goals in the policy trust of the institution are being carried out as intended. And those areas will be very important that they become the central features of the underpinnings of the performance management framework. And part of our review will be to look at that. The need to also look at coordination and collaboration between Parliament as well as the executive to make sure that there's greater collaboration around determination of the lawmaking agenda to ensure greater seamlessness in that interface. We will focus on examining what we have and how do we improve the offices that interface with the leader of government business so that there's a greater predictability as well as certainty on the timelines of engagement. The need to strengthen the legal division, the lawmaking capacity of the houses to make sure that the level of advice that comes to the houses receive greater focus so that we can be able to improve even on areas where there could be return of legislation or not being returned, but it gets affected by determination by courts for failure to pass constitutional muster. How do we make sure that we strengthen our capacity to make sure that we have sufficient confidence that whatever leaves the house, bar anything else, passes all the necessary scrutiny as well as the legal and constitutional muster. The resolution tracking mechanism would be very important for both houses to improve, as well as improving on the value chain of oversight and accountability. We will be focusing on those areas, both at the level of functional design, both at the level of programmatic orientation, but also at the level of capacity at a content and research level. So at the discharge of responsibilities is quite seamless across the organization. The other issue that we'll also be focusing on is making sure that the issue of capacity building is managed in a manner that supports the functioning of both the legislatures across, as well as the needs of members in both houses. And one of the good steps that has already taken place was the establishment of the Parliamentary Institute. How do we make sure that capacity building responsibilities are executed in a manner where there's a single focus to the greatest extent, so that there's a clear alignment of the program of capacity building intentions of the organization, as well as a coherence in the approach around this matter. The work that we are referring to would of course be undertaken through this institute that we have mentioned. The need to improve labor relations in the organization will be very, very important. And some of these issues I have picked up in my engagement with staff that I've had recently, where you could see that my own observation as a new person, there is a room for improvement around this area, the management labor interface. It needs to be improved, including management of the realities around the contradiction of the relationships that exist between management, and how do we manage those areas in a manner that reinforces organizational goals in terms of supporting, but creating greater clarity to everyone, how these relations are structured, how they are managed, and how do we improve. We think there's a need to improve the environment. The risk management architecture will be one of those areas that they are already identified priorities for the risk, but the need of interface around the audit committee, around mapping of the risk, as well as execution of these across the value chain will be one area that is giving us opportunity to improve the internal environment. At the level of external stakeholders, Honorable Chairperson, I've already met with the law enforcement agencies around the work they have done in regard to the question of the fire incident that we have, and received necessary assurances that their own work has been concluded and they are busy with court matters in terms of dealing with the outcomes of their own investigation. I've also met with the National Commissioner of Police around their own work that they have done in determining the incidences that have taken place around the precinct, insofar as their own contingent that they are responsible for in managing their presence here, and the work that they have done, including actions that they have already taken. But also having indicated to us that there was also an expectation for us to undertake our own work in terms of our own investigation, in particular, the root cause analysis of issues that could have contributed or weakened our own environment to be able to create conditions that may have led up to that area. So that expectation for all the parties has been made very clear by them, that they expect us to have taken out our own responsibilities. And so I've been made aware by management that such work has not been done to date. And I think it's one area that we'll be able to prioritize to make sure that we're able to conclude this work as a basis of improving the overall security apparatus in the precinct. I've also met with Public Works and Infrastructure, and they have indicated to us that they've completed their assessment around the technical assessment of the fire, and they've done detailed assessment around this matter. And it's quite area that would require significant resources for our own focus. They have determined what we would need for the old assembly, and they have also made determination in their own cost estimate about restoration and rebuilding of the new wing that was completely gutted. And they have indicated to us that we would need to make sure that we make determination about the focus of what needs to be done going forward in ensuring that this work is completed and it is done. They have given us estimates of the timelines within which such work can be completed. We have also met with the National Treasury as part of the focus on the restoration of those two buildings. and they've indicated to us the need for us to share in detail the full assessments that have been done by Public Works around these matters. So last week we met with the Treasury. We were also supposed to meet today, but they have since indicated that due to other pressures they have, they could not come down to meet with us here in Parliament as per their request, that they would also want to inspect the facility to match their own appreciation of the significant impact that the fire has visited into these two buildings. So we will reschedule that, but given the urgency of the matter, I have also been in communication with them today to say, if possible by next week, we need to finish this work so that it forms part of what needs to be prioritized in terms of the medium-term budget policy priorities. The impact of the work speaks to the issue of how the buildings have been impacted. And as we look at it now, the impact around the chambers of the old assembly and National Assembly, the committee rooms that have been impacted by the fire, and also the offices of political parties and administration. So the total number that has been affected is as indicated, including the numbers for staff and the numbers around political parties. The fundamental question is then, what do we then do to make sure that, much as we have experienced this disruption, are there any measures we are taking to make sure that we restore and create stability in the functioning of Parliament, given this reality that we are facing? And in terms of the short-term estimates that we have done to make sure that we are able to operate until end of March, we have made our own quantification of what needs to be done to prepare for the State of the Nation address, as well as the sittings around the medium-term budget policy statement, as well as dealing with issues of interim responses to support of members in terms of the NCOP and what capacity do we need to restore those offices. We have made a determination around that, and NCOP work has now been done. And the office is now in a functioning mode as a house. We are also identifying offices, Chairperson, in terms of the interim, to say, what do we do under the current circumstances, having secured 70 offices so far? The additional office capacity we have identified at 90 Plain Street at the fourth and fifth floor to make sure that we can provide some relief in terms of offices for members. There's a capacity that it can yield 155 offices in terms of remodeling the office. They are currently occupied by our staff, and we envisage that over the next 6 months, we can be able to complete this work, both moving staff as well as remodeling the offices so that they meet the requirements of members. So we envisage that at West, immediately after SONA, those offices would have been completed, and we've made provision for that. We are also identifying additional 54 offices so that we can complete the contingent of offices. And those ones would help us to provide that. We don't have them in the immediate precinct, but we think that outside the precinct, we would also identify those. And we also envisage that, similar to the ones on the fifth floor, we envisage that by immediately post-SONA, we would have those offices so that they can give us a full yield of 199 offices that would be made available for members, and move our staff to the other offices that they would use on a hot desking basis to use as and when those ones are required. We are also envisaging modernizing our committee rooms so that they create a dual capability of both physical as well as hybrid engagement in terms of both online as well as physical. So we'll be looking at those areas around our own resourcing of those intentions. Those are the budget estimates that we will be discussing with National Treasury to resource those priorities. On the area of the budget requirements, as per in summary, to deal with the joint sittings and sitting of the National Assembly, We are in engagement with the City of Cape Town to continue utilizing the City Hall. In principle, we have agreements with them, and we are busy quantifying in detail so that we give them certainty of the days in which we would need City Hall so that it can be aligned to the programming work as envisaged for performance of the work of the NA going forward. So we are also targeting them in terms of ensuring that they will release the work on an urgent basis based on our projections between now and end of March. The capacity they are able to yield is similar to how they have accommodated us last February, in terms of the State of the Nation address. So there's a full focus conversation with them around that matter. The medium term, there was indications around the need for us to determine a modular infrastructure that would create capacity, as well as this assessment of restoration. The timelines, however, are affecting, because what we have been given both for the restoration work is envisaging anything anywhere between 36 months and 42 months in terms of restoration of both houses. And our estimates so far on the modular structure is also not yielding us immediacy in terms of the capacity of the infrastructure being available in the soonest possible timelines. It is a year and above, and it will require policy decisions to be able to say, do we proceed with this determination? And if we proceed, what happens on the issue of the restoration? Do they proceed simultaneously? Are they immediately presenting us with options around accommodation that would create permanence going forward? And those policy decisions will still be substantively presented for decision-making at the level of executive authority and for further guidance in terms of further determination. And we're working around that. So at the level of outer figure projections, we have made quantification of what we would need in the short and medium term in terms of restoration of both the National Assembly as well as the old assembly, plus the quarterly requirements that we need between now up until end of the March. I mean, the short-term requirements rather. We are also highlighting, Chairperson, the timelines on our statutory reporting obligations around the first quarter performance of the organization, as well as the annual report submission, and thereafter subsequent dates for their own tabling. The second quarter performance report target dates we have outlined, and we intend meeting these deadlines to make sure that we remain in line with our own engagements to meet the statutory provisions of reporting obligations in the organization. Also on the area of risk assessment for the year under question, these are some of the areas that will inform our work. So at these issues that have been identified, they received greater focus, and I would not identify them elementary, but these are all part of the menu of what will occupy us in our risk metrics to make sure that we identify intervention that help us to respond both at the level of human capital capability and competency, as well as alignment to the strategy. And we're currently doing work in the org review that will help us make such alignment around those matters. On the area of accommodation, it's currently, of course, a major risk focus for us that we need to have a clear commitment to execute to make sure that the current disruption is minimized to a level where we are able to provide support on these areas of work for the houses. And on the areas of the management of support to members, we would also be looking, as I've identified earlier on, the need for us to strengthen our support to make sure that at the highest level of commitment, we are able to get the institution having less disruption on its work going forward. For the area of the office accommodation, Chairperson, you may not find on this slide, but I think for assurance to the committee, I would like just to highlight for the NCOP to indicate that in terms of the readiness of the office to accommodate all the members. All offices are ready and they are ready for occupation. And there's been communication through the Chief Whip's office to make sure that political parties in the NCOP, they are advised of members that offices are now fully ready for their own operations. At the level of the National Assembly, we are also looking at capacity, so at committees, to the extent that they can function fully around this matter of impact on the inadequate accommodation. We have made our own assessment at this point in time to say, how do we then utilize other venues that we have? The chamber of NCOP is now available, is already functioning. And on the side of the Max building, we have identified some offices that have got capacities. About three of our committee rooms there, they've got capacity of 60. The other room has capacity of 27 members, and the other room has capacity of 38 seating arrangements. So to the extent that some committees would need offices, and given the average that they have, some of these offices will be able to assist. Also, in the Max buildings, there's other offices that will be able to give capacities of 50 as a committee room. The other ones have capacity of 28, others have capacity of 20 and 44. I have not named the room numbers, but we have those details to say room S12A has got this capacity and that room has got this capacity and so on. So overall, there is about eight offices that are already functioning as committees, and that capacity will be yielded to make sure that where there's a need for physical attendance, some committees through a properly managed programming, they will be able to function inside the precinct. At 90 Plain Street, we also have two offices that have got capacity of 15 seats each, but they also have better capability in the sense that they also have hybrid capacity to function around those matters. Where we are unable to provide others, Chairperson, we will be able to do further work to identify committee rooms outside the precinct to assist in that regard. On the area of risk, that's the overall report I could highlight. And on my concluding remarks, Chairperson, the shortness of the time that I was able to make this determination, we will continue to ensure that given the limitations of the office, to the extent necessary, managerial staff to be back at offices, as well as some of the content staff and procedural staff where practical to be back at office to make sure that they are able to exercise their work. Where staff are unable because of capacity limitations, we will make judgment decisions to make sure that they can continue working on a rotational basis and to the extent necessary to be at home. We will also continue to make sure that we improve our systems and processes internally to make sure that we continue to strengthen the operations of Parliament to service the obligations and responsibilities of members. The other area that is outstanding on my engagements, Chairperson, is engagements that I plan to have with political leaders in terms of completing the work of engagement with office bearers, but also deal with conversations on a meet and greet basis with the leaders of all political parties that are represented in Parliament, and also deal with capacity that we would need as part of the restoration work, given our own limitations as Parliament, especially on the technical capacity that will be necessary to manage the work needs to be done on the reconstruction and refurbishment of Parliament in terms of our work. I am also in engagement with employees at different segments, including tomorrow and Friday, with different levels of employees to get a sense of some of the areas that will require support, as well as appreciating the environment and climate in which they work, so that we respond comprehensively to create an environment that is conducive for employees to discharge their responsibilities. And from time to time, I will be able to update the committee on the work we are doing leading to March. I do not have the detail at this point, Chair, in terms of the execution framework of all these issues that I've stated. And my next phase will be to work out in a detail that will give clearer timelines about what would constitute short term, what will constitute medium term on these matters, so that there's clear intentionality about improving robustly the environment we're in, but at the same time, creating conduciveness in our work to discharge our responsibility to support Parliament to perform its responsibilities. On that note, Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I can now officially welcome you as the Secretary of Parliament. Thank you very much for sharing your vision with us. We were waiting for this moment to officially congratulate you and say welcome. Let me just open. Maybe first invite the speaker, if she's still in the platform with us, if there are a few words that she would like, a few remarks that she would like to make in relation to the vision and the commitment that the Secretary to Parliament has just alluded to. Speaker, if you're on the platform, you're welcome.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. Chairperson, I am familiar with the issues being raised by the Chairperson, by the Secretary of Parliament. He has taken both myself and the Chairperson of the NCOP into confidence about his environmental scan report. But what is required, as he was saying right at the end, that he's not sure on how to execute some of the issues, but he has a vision. And for us, that is what is the most important. And of course, the second stage would be for us to sit together. Unfortunately, you recall, Chair, that the Secretary of Parliament started on the 15th of June, at a time when we were leaving Parliament and going on recess. So from now onwards, other than the interaction that we've been having on virtual platforms and twice on physical, we will now be interacting together with him and his team when we go back to Parliament from next week. So I'm just saying that, Chairperson, we really appreciate the work he has done already. And I'm sure in the regular interactions between the committee and the Secretary of Parliament, you will get more information about that which he is already doing. There are certain things which he has sensitized us about, such as the issues of delegations of powers and so on, and therefore the difficulties of implementing some of those. So we will deal with those matters as we go back to Parliament, Chairperson, and we will come and brief the Joint Standing Committee on Finance. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity.
Very much, Madam Speaker. Members, comments, clarity seeking questions? I will note, I see the hand of Member Moletsane. I see the hand of Member Sheikh Imam and the hand of Member Khadebe. Those are the three first hands. In that order, members.
Thank you, Chairperson. When listening to the presentation, Mr. Xolile spoke about two vacant positions, the position of the head of the security and the CFO. So I just want to check, are there any other vacant positions in Parliament apart from only those two? If yes, which positions are those? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Can I go ahead, Chairperson?
Of course, yes.
Yes. Thank you very much. First of all, allow me to welcome our new secretary, Mr. Xolile George, to Parliament. And we do hope, sir, that you will do justice to the position you are going to fill. I like the idea of you, your resolve that you would like to engage different political parties. I think it is the right route to go. The further, the more engagement we have, I think the more conducive will create an environment for us to work together. Now, you know, I see you have made a lot of observations, and I must congratulate you on your report. It was very extensive, very comprehensive, raising and highlighting a whole lot of your observation, challenges, and issues that you need to deal with. And particularly, I think, the state of parliament, because we have for a long time becoming restless, because we didn't know where we were really going as far as how long it's going to take, what the cost is going to be, and that kind of matter. But I have one concern, and I must be honest about that, that while you have made a lot of observations, you have engaged with staff, you talk about this is a premium institute, and you talk about vacancies, I'm given to understand, sir, that you have just appointed and extended a contract for Mr. Sithole. Now, in terms of page 13 of the parliamentary report, which I believe is now changed because we're not tabling it here today. So if you're not able to respond, I can understand, but I think at the next meeting, perhaps you can. You have extended the contract for Mr. Sithole by another year after it being extended to 8 months, despite the audit committee saying that he did not have the necessary qualifications, not the experience, not the expertise, not the skill. And more importantly, sir, there's been a protest suicide on the premises with so many employees complaining. And very importantly, the Public Service Commission, the inquiry that was held, had some damning report against Mr. Sithole. Could you please explain how is it that this extension of his contract after it expired for the second time, despite the report, the Public Sector Commission inquiry report, how did this actually happen? And it appears it's not as urgent as the other position, but it appears to have been given priority. Are we giving the correct message, sir, to all our other employees at Parliament that we don't respect their views, we don't care what happens to them, it's all about one particular person? I'd please like you to explain. And if you can't today, I'll understand, because perhaps it's not on the agenda for today and on the next meeting at least. Thank you very much.
I see the hand of, I've located Member Khadebe. I see the hand of Member Khai and Member Singh. Then we'll be closing. In that order. No.
All right. Thank you, Chairperson. I also would like to join Honorable Ilan to Sheikh Imam in welcoming the report. It is really comprehensive indeed. It is comprehensive indeed. And then what I appreciate is that basically it goes to the heart of the issues which the Johnston Committee had been raising since 2019, basically. But what is very important, Chair, is that when you look at the strategic map of Parliament, of the strategic plan of Parliament, the issue of strengthening oversight and accountability and public involvement, international fora, those programs are going to need the proper funding. We know very well that we had the lapses, as the Zondo Commission has indicated, on the issue of oversight on the side of Parliament, of which we, to some extent, we agree there were lapses there and there, but the issue of the financing of the portfolio committees, resourcing them to ensure that they deliver quality work. What is critical, Chair, here is that when they say, when a portfolio committee is going to visit a particular site, doing oversight, it's critical that before they go there, they get a comprehensive report about the issues which are happening in that site or that entity they'll be visiting. So this issue means that we must have extra resources for our parliament. So the medium-term budget policy statement is around the corner. Next week, it will be September. So basically, the Minister of Finance will be indicating how the budget will stand by how it will look like next year, in the next 3 years. So what is critical, Chair, is that I'm worried by the fact that one, they could not, the secretary and his team could not meet Treasury. Né? And then when we looked at the proposed program which you had, around the 14th and the 9th, we'll be dealing with the issue of Parliament fire, the issue of the engagement of the executive authority with the Minister of Finance. So how can we be assured that even before the medium-term budget policy statement is issued out, all the processes will have you followed within Parliament and the Treasury itself, so that we can hit the road, the ground running. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. So the next, thank you very much for the opportunity. Let me also take this opportunity to welcome Mr. Xolile George, our Secretary to Parliament. Also greetings to the Speaker, other honorable members, the management of Parliament. Chair, I think some of the issues will not necessarily be addressed by the Secretary to Parliament. They will need a collective input, but also from the executive authority as well. But we were throwing these issues so that they also form part of a discussion with the relevant structures within Parliament, including the executive authority. One of the issues that are raised on the strategy mapping is the reduction of poverty, inequality, and unemployment. I don't know if Parliament does have a tool or will have a tool to measure whether we are now reducing poverty, we are now reducing unemployment and inequality, or we rely on government to provide us with the those reports, because we need to, as Parliament, to have a tool of our own so that we are able to measure whether we're meeting those issues that are on the strategy mapping. I will also follow up on the issue of a filling of critical posts. I believe, Chair, that one of the critical posts is the post of the registrar on the ethics and members' interest. It's been vacant for a long time. To add to the two, I don't know if there are any others. So I align myself with the question of Honorable Miltan. If you can list them, but they may not necessarily be filled in the same time, but just to have an understanding of how many, which are the critical vacant posts, but in terms of addressing their filling, it may not necessarily be at one time, just to have an idea, Chair. I think as the Secretary will be approaching various structures, including committees. I think that there's one issue that I find when I joined Parliament was confusing me, is around the supervision of a committee staff. You find there's no kind of like a central way of supervising and coordinating staff. The issue, I think, should be addressed. You find the content advisor, committee secretary having within the committee having their own boss that they report to. The researchers of the same committee have their own boss, which is separate from the boss of the content advisor and the secretary. The committee assistant has his or her own boss. Now, if you, as a chair, you have a problem, so you must have all these four bosses in under one roof to address the issues of these various members of staff. So there's no kind of like a central coordination where you interact maybe with one person. I believe that is something that need to be addressed. The second issue is on the advices that we receive as committees from the procedural advisors and the legal advisors. If you're dealing with the legislation in the committee, you find that sometimes they would contradict each other, and that would confuse members of the committee. I think it's something that needs to be attended to, because I've observed it in various occasions when we're dealing with the legislation, when you check the advice of sometimes the legal advisors would agree with the office of the chief state law advisor, but then the procedural advisor will have a different view, and that confuses a committee and will not know which advice to take if there's that contradiction. The other challenge, I think, that need to be addressed is around this issue of lawmaking. There are lots of bills that are not being attended to. I remember in one of the program and committee meetings, this issue was raised. I think it's a matter that should be also follow up. I see that it's one of the priorities that need to be strengthened, that is mentioned amongst the priorities of a parliament. There's an issue that is raised with regard to working with legislature on issues of international work. My view is that it should not only be limited to international work, but also on oversight. Sometimes you go to a province as a committee, there's no coordination or participation by members of the legislature when you are in their space as a committee. So I think we need to also coordinate a cooperation around the issue of oversight as well. The other issue, Chair, is around the, I'm glad that the Secretary is mentioning this issue of the resolution tracking mechanism. It's a matter that we've been raising consistently, but we don't see results. We table reports with recommendation and adopted in the House. You'll never hear anything about their implementation after they have been adopted by the House. On the issue of the structures of Parliament, I would suggest that Chair, we leave that issue to the executive, whether the modular structure and the restoration should take place at the same time or not. I would rather request that we leave that to the executive authority to decide, and then perhaps report to the committee. The last point is on the public involvement. We once, in one of the meetings of the committee, requested that we always have this 48, the channel 48, which is, I know it's live now, that Parliament uses, but it's not accessible to ordinary people. That was acknowledged by the executive. And then we were informed that there are negotiations, I think, with CENTEC. So I think it's a matter that must still be followed up so that the people can also access the business of Parliament without having to be on pay channels. Thank you very much, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I'm going to be very, very brief. Firstly, forgive me for the background. I just got back from an oversight visit where we have been with the Auditor General here in Pretoria for the whole day. And I missed most of the presentation, but I want to use this opportunity to congratulate Mr. Kulila George again and welcome him and assure him of our fullest cooperation in ensuring that Parliament as an institution is well recognized by not only South Africans, but by international bodies in the way we conduct ourselves. I just want to underscore what Honorable Hateb has said about a meeting with Treasury and the budget. And I think the STP will know that we have for many years been talking about challenges with regard to the budget, the allocations we get from National Treasury. But I think in the last 2 years or 3 years or so, with the onset of COVID, you know, it has had a positive impact in that I'm quite sure we've been able to save a lot of money in terms of traveling, not paying traveling expenses, etc. And we must capitalize on the savings that we've made. But I think what Honorable Hadebe says is very correct. A meeting with Treasury, and Honorable Speaker, good evening. Sorry, I should have greeted you as well. STP, I hope that the report of the members' training workshop has been placed on your table and that you and your team will be looking at that report and the outcomes very, very closely to start looking at action steps, because I think that was one of the best interactions that we've had over four days, and there are issues that relate to administration in general. One being the need to beef up constituency offices, capacitate them, capacitate honorable members in being able to do their work, etc. So I think as we move forward, we will be able to interact. I appreciate your vision, but a vision comes with budget, and I think as we continue to meet, we'll be able to look at those kinds of issues. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, honorable members. If I have my way, I would say that noted, given the fact that Mr. George is failing you in Parliament, but I'm sure you will be able to respond to questions that have been raised. From my side, I'm just happy about the fact that you have highlighted the agency of dealing with labor issues, because without the committed span of control, you won't be able to achieve any of your objectives. I will now allow you to respond to questions that you feel comfortable responding to. And if there are questions that you still need to go do more research on, I'm sure members will agree that we give you time. Maybe you can respond in writing, but to questions that you are able to respond to, please do so. But members, since the presentation has been shared amongst us, I will also encourage you to go through the report, highlight issues of agency that you would feel that the committee must prioritize them. Then we can see how do we then incorporate those issues in our program. Thank you very much. I will pause for now and invite Mr. George to respond to questions.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you very much to honorable members for positive comments of expressions of support and also appreciation of the reflections made so far. On some of the questions, Chairperson, maybe I'll make preliminary comments, and to the extent necessary, I'll be able to go back and do more work on some of those areas. The issues raised by Honorable Moletsane is around concerns on vacant positions other than these ones that we have indicated that they are of utmost urgency. Indeed, Honorable Moletsane, we are not only going to prioritize these positions. There is quite a number of vacant positions in the organization. But what is important is that at the point of intervention, it is always important to appreciate that any organization evolves. And as it evolves, it adapts from where it is to respond to strategic imperatives that arise from time to time. So priorities of the sixth administration would also be central to how we approach this matter. as I joined the organization, I've been made aware that the organization has been on a path of reviewing its organizational structures and related matters around operational model, as well as issues that pertain to how to create greater alignment, as well as regrouping of positions. So indeed, those matters would then inform us, even if we have a situation where there is vacant positions. A key criteria amongst this approach would be the degree to which we determine which positions are urgent. They may be vacant, but which positions are urgent and what constitute that urgency? What is involved in dealing with those positions? In other words, the degree to which they may materially impact on the strategic pillars of the organization, as well as stated commitments in the annual performance plan. The second issue that will inform our consideration is whether, as part of the reviewed organizational model, both at the level of structure and operating arrangements, those positions vacant as they are, they remain vacant going forward. In other words, they will still meet the criteria that they are necessary to execute organizational strategy. So I would have an opportunity to go through that as part of the org review to make sure that the process is not impacted unduly in terms of delaying its support to the execution of the work of Parliament. As we sit, I'm advised that there's about 222 vacant positions in the organization. And about 27 of these are currently at different stages of being filled. And that takes into account needs that have been identified and have been confirmed. So we would look at this vacant position to make sure that where possible, they may not have to wait the full scale review of organization so that we don't impact detrimentally to the attainment of strategic objectives. And we will work out a clear plan of execution around this matter. Honorable Sheikh, you have raised the issue of appointment of a renewal rather of one manager in the organization, and there were issues that relate to the conduct of the employee and so on. I am new in the organization, Chairperson, and as I came, I have been advised by management of positions that are urgent, and some of them, they also relate to contracts that have come to an end. And it becomes fairly difficult for any one organization to arrive, and within your arrival, you are able to make a determinative position to say that this position, I no longer require it, or this is what needs to be done. I have renewed two positions at a senior level, one for strategy and governance that was very central to the execution of the response to the issues of the Auditor General, because that vacancy happened in the middle of audit period. And the position was very instrumental in dealing with issues of performance management in the organization. And I made a judgment call that whilst we are in the middle of this, I am unable to make a determination whether the position would be reviewed. It may no longer be required and so on, knowing the value of strategic management in the organization and performance. So I renewed the position for a year just to get time to make a full determination on how the function will be executed. So that also I do not materially impact negatively on the work of the organization. The second position that has been brought to my attention recently is around international relations, the vacancy that Honorable Sheikh has raised. Again, the work done by Parliament in terms of the increasingly undertakings that are running right at this point, and the centrality of the employees in terms of supporting internal work. And similarly, I made a consistent decision to also renew for a year. However, if there are any issues that as member has raised, which I'm not aware of, I will be able through engagement with HR to understand where those matters are, so that there's a fair assessment of where these issues are. And then I'll be able to have a much more determinative position on how these matters must be attended to. So my approach is to deal with matters fairly objectively and take into account balancing the need of the organization, as well as ensuring minimum disruption on matters that pertain to the work of the organization. On the area raised by Honorable Khadebe around financing of Parliament to perform its work, we entirely agree, as we have outlined. There's a need for a much more structured funding for Parliament to be able to discharge its responsibilities. Of course, that will also take into account issues raised as key recommendations arising out of the Zondo Commission, how to strengthen the work. And once Parliament makes its own assessment on how it wants to respond comprehensively to issues that would warrant structuring the organization to discharge its obligation, implement all those recommendations, we will be able to factor those in terms of resource implications. And in our discussion with Treasury, we are raising the matter of the need to raise the funding that is provided to Parliament. And one of the issues that needs to be taken into account is that Parliament looks at a budget for the whole country. And when the budget is presented, I am not sure at this year how much budget was, but I can just use a figure to say the total budget for the country could be 2.3 trillion. And all of that budget needs to be overseen effectively by both houses of parliament. So what requisite capacity and capability do we need to make sure that members of both houses are adequately supported to carry out execution of their mandate to oversee such significant resources for the country, and what capacity we need both, not only from a procedural point of view, from a policy analysis, from advice, from evaluation of the impact of the work that is being done to make sure that the developmental imperatives of the country around tackling macro challenges of poverty, underdevelopment, and inequality, they receive the appropriate focus by Parliament in terms of capacity and capability to discharge its role. So those conversations will be very important at a policy level to make sure that Parliament is enabled to discharge its responsibility. So starting the work of engaging with Parliament, I mean, with Treasury, as recent as last week and next week, will be very important, as I've indicated. So at a policy level, conversation with the minister, at an executive level, conversation with the president by our principals is informed by thoroughgoing work of what we need to do to make sure that Parliament is adequately funded. And we will do our focus to make sure that we have the right projections that anticipate the resourcing of the institution appropriately. The issue of the need to ensure greater coordination, as raised by Honorable Khai, coordination of employees inside the organization. Our response to that will be that the operating model that we are currently busy with, it will help us as part of the macro design review to help us to make sure that the interface between procedural officers as well as content officers at the level of central coordination is not creating a misalignment. And those issues we will engage as management to make sure that to the extent that it is identified in any of those, we don't wait for a longer process, and we actually deal with it for what it is, to create greater certainty and greater clarity in the management of those roles. The issue of advisors, as well as content advisors, procedural advisors, sometimes providing contradicting advice to committees, it's a matter that I would also take up with the secretaries of both houses so that we can minimize this issue. What gives rise to it? At what stage is advice purely of a procedural nature? And at what stage is advice of a content nature? Is there instances where procedural advisors venture into content advice or vice versa? How does it arise? So secretaries of both houses, I'll engage them to make sure they give me a clear indication of what needs to be done to correct such anomaly as it is reported. The issue of bills that are not being attended to is an important issue. And I would also, I don't have the exact number and exact answer on it. I would also confer with board secretaries so that we know what is the meaning of not being attended to. Is it bills that have gone through committees or bills that have been referred from houses, but they have not yet been processed given whatever limitations. So that matter, I will also take up with both secretaries so that we can then give a substantive response of what needs to be done to improve the situation. Working with legislatures and provinces to go beyond international relations. I just mentioned international relations, but the core of what I indicated, honorable members, was that collaboration will be very, very important on all matters, including intergovernmental relations, including oversight, including issues of managing employees and how to deal with the condition of service. So it's going to be a wide span of issues that must help us improve collaboration and coordination between Parliament and those legislatures. And we will define and engage at the legislative sector support to make sure that those issues are receiving proper attention and we have clear guidance on how we can improve a joint approach to these matters in a manner that reinforces the imperatives of interface between these legislative sector houses. The issue of resolution tracking mechanism we have raised, and we would also look at how this matter must be operationalized, the timelines on how we can make investment to improve on this matter, so that there's clear focus on chasing decisions made in the houses, decisions made in the committees, and whether those have been executed as intended. The issue of matters raised around Channel 404 and others, it's a matter I can go back. I don't have an answer on. I will confer with the head of communication, so that when I've got clear advice about the nature of the matter, I will indeed attend to the matter to look at how to best maximize our communication machinery to enable greater focus of public participation as well as participation of communities around the work of Parliament. Honorable Singh, you have raised the issue of financial budget with Treasury. You have also raised the issue of training of members report. I have not yet looked at the report of training of members. I would source it from the relevant business unit and familiarize myself with the content. But I think you are underscoring the point of urgency around National Treasury being engaged. And there can be no better opportunity by now, given the fact that Parliament has been revisited with this calamity of a fire that affected it, as well as the issues that arise out of the State Culture Commission. What are some of the far-reaching implications that have a bearing on oversight of Parliament in terms of how it does its work and how do we capacitate it so that it functions optimally to discharge its responsibilities to meet constitutional imperatives. So those issues would form part of a proper guidance on how we can execute our quantification of means to do so. And take into account the realities that some of them may require much more detailed work, perhaps not immediate answers, but making greater investment so that we are able to respond structurally and in a very comprehensive manner going forward to catapult Parliament to a level that is necessary to place it as what it is, a premier institution in the model of governance of our country. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the responses. Members, I'm sure we all agree that this is work in progress. And as indicated earlier on, if there are issues that members would like to flag as agent items that can be incorporated into our program, you are free to do so, members. I'm not sure if there's any member who would still want to raise any issue, but I think, let me just check the list. No, I don't see any hands. If that is the case, then members, let me just thank you very much for your participation and welcome the Secretary to Parliament. We no longer have an acting secretary now. I nearly said acting secretary to Parliament. We used to that language. The acting secretary to Parliament, and congratulate the Speaker and the chairperson of NCOP and the collective for making sure that they do the correct appointment. The commitment says a lot about the character of the person that has been given this responsibility. With those words, members, I would like to officially close the meeting and also indicate that because we're not correcting issues related to adoption of minutes and any other business that requires a quorum will not be entertained today because we're not a fully fledged committee. Yes, I just want to, let's just end it here, members, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Good night.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.